This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, you got Perloff. Maggie, unfortunately, is out. We had an incident on yesterday's show, and I'll call it an incident because Maggie was laughing about it on the phone with me. She's feeling a little under the weather, had to make a quick escape. Could have been worse. I don't know how she got home, but she is home, and I think will probably be back tomorrow, but she's already feeling better, so don't worry about your girl. She's fine, folks.
And she told me that she's got a 10:30 appointment with Dr. Rock today, so if we get to the bottom of all this, she can get back here as soon as possible.
Oh, don't be jealous of my relationship with Dr. Rock Positano. I hear your little snide comments, Andrew Bogus, sitting in for Maggie Gray. I have some famous doctor friends. Neil Elitrosh, James Andrews. No, I don't know those guys, but I wish
I did. Dr. Rock. It's a good way to go, though.
Dr. Rock Positano, renowned foot doctor. Okay, Russell Wilson signs with the Giants. We are trying to figure out if he's going to develop a New Jersey, New York accent and talk about gabagool. I don't think he's capable of this. Both.
He's going to have a congestion pricing joke, too. You know that's coming.
Yeah. Do you like
these tolls?
Yeah, I know. There's a new ridiculous New York City tax coming in next week. I'll get
There's
into it
another
later
one next
There's
week?
Another one that is insane.
What is Hochul doing to us, Perloff?
This one's not Hochul. This is a city. It is crazy. It, as if they're not taking enough of our money. Basically, if you don't freeze your compost and put it out on the street, they're going to fine you $100 a week.
Ooh.
In New York City. Anyway, Russell Wilson will address all of this at his first press conference.
Come to Long Island. We don't have that problem on Long Island. There's no compost. You have plenty of other
problems. Plenty of other problems. Give us a call. Do you like Russell Wilson to the Giants? Do you think he will be? Yeah. Do you think Russ will be the starting quarterback throughout the season? Does he get 17 games in New York? Do they draft a guy, use Russ for half the season? I want to know the plan because I'm not sure what it is right now. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Okay. I have a mock draft in front of me, Andrew Bogus. Bucky Brooks, former cohort. I used to write a column with him, actually, at SI.
Another name drop.
Former NFL player, former NFL scout. Played at North Carolina, interestingly enough. Had some interesting opinions on Bill Belichick, I'm sure. Has Shedeur Sanders going number two to the Cleveland Browns and your New York Giants taking Travis Hunter. But that is not what caught my eye about this mock draft. Bucky has three running backs in the top 20.
Three.
Two in the top 10. He has Ashton Jeanty to number six, to the Raiders at number six. Then he has a surprise pick, Chicago, Omarion Hampton, the North Carolina running back, number 10 to the Bears for a very good reason. Ben Johnson, the new coach in Chicago, famously ran two running backs at Detroit, David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs, who went number 12 in the draft. So that actually makes a lot of sense. And then one that really surprised me, I have not seen a lot of this, Travion Henderson to the Broncos at number 20. I mean, we saw Henderson breakaway speed at Ohio State. Very, very intriguing prospect. Is the running back back? And Daniel Jeremiah, who does a podcast with Bucky, NFL Network, number one draft analyst in the world, I will say right now, I think is he does the color for the draft for NFL Network, thinks that there's a running back could go even higher than six to the Raiders. Let's hear from Daniel.
If you don't get Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, I would add a little line to the end of best available. I would say best available player that can help your quarterback. So I would be looking on the offensive side of the ball. And Ashton Jeanty, I have him as the number three player in the draft. So If you're just going pure best available player, it'd be Jeanty. And if you're obviously looking on the offensive side of the ball, he would be the guy there from the offensive side of the ball standpoint.
That was not me wowing, by the way. It sounded a little like me. But who was that? who's wowing? Yeah, that did sound like me. That would be crazy to have a running back in this day and age, because running backs are out of favor, supposedly, in the NFL. Then what happens last year? Saquon Barkley eclipses 2,000 yards. The Eagles win the Super Bowl. Derrick Henry, amazing in Baltimore. Feels like...
And Jahmyr Gibbs.
An incredible weapon in Detroit. Feels like the running back is making a comeback. Ashton Jeanty, number four overall. There are some people, including Maggie, who is a little worried about his lack of height. We haven't had many running backs that short. I am not. That guy can break every tackle. I think he is a superstar. Four, I am not going to quite take him that high, because that means you'd have to maybe pass on Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, but I can see him definitely going six to the Raiders.
I can see him. I mean, this began with him going to the Bears, right? That was the first real sneak up the board because of the Ben Johnson, Jahmyr Gibbs connection. Now he's going even further than that. Yeah. And I'm completely on board with this. You're right. I mean, six even still feels a tad bit high for me, but I understand why the Raiders would want him. Because once you get past, once you get to five, and presumably both quarterbacks and Carter and Hunter are gone, as Jeremiah said, now you're in the area where most players are kind of equal in terms of impact, and helping a young quarterback makes a lot of sense. So I get this completely, and I am here in general for the running back renaissance.
But would you take a running back to help a quarterback and not a wide receiver?
In this draft, yes.
All right, EJ, you're the Raiders at number six. You need a weapon. You have terrible skill position players. Which way do you go?
I think I lean more receiver over running back. They did the thing with the running back with Josh Jacobs for them, and it didn't do much, right? They were a middling team. They made the playoffs once.
Good running back.
Very good running back, and a guy who was a star who then went to a great team and then turned them into, the Packers didn't take a step up, but he had a great year. I think the point I'm trying to make, though, is I feel like the calculus for where you take a running back should depend on where you are in development of a team. So if you're the Eagles or you're the Packers or you're the Ravens, those teams are basically finished products where adding a superstar running back maybe takes their offense potential and raises that ceiling way higher. If you're the Raiders, I don't know if taking a running back really does that. So I would go with a wide receiver, maybe a Tet McMillan, T-Mac from Arizona or someone like that, because I just don't know at that high is a running back changing life for the Raiders.
So that, by the way, McMillan is at 26 in this same mock draft. So he's not on the same.
He's falling right now.
Right.
He's falling. I mean, there were multiple.
And he's the first wide receiver post Travis Hunter that's taken. So there is not a wide receiver by all accounts right now at six that's worthy of that pick.
Right. He did not run quite what people wanted as pro day. There were multiple reports, 4.58, some people said, for a guy who's his size, maybe a little slower. I think that's obviously overrated. Daniel Jeremiah is Matthew Golden is his wide receiver number one, unless you count Travis Hunter, who's also a wide receiver. Yeah, this is going to be a tricky spot. I am going Ashton Jeanty with the Raiders against all my best logic. I consider myself an analytics guy. I don't think you should pay running backs. I don't think that you should draft them high, because it seems like you can get a guy in the fifth round who's just as good. But you're the Raiders, and I think normally, EJ, your logic with the wide receiver is spot on. I just don't think it's this draft. So you are in a position where the draft, by all experts' accounts, is not super strong. There are only a handful of players who are elite. I think I've heard that it goes pretty much after the 10th pick, between 10 and 30 are very similar players. This is a unique spot that the Raiders are in number six, and I think Jeanty's a star, and go for it.
Yeah, and this is where I've always pushed back on the argument to use EJ's Josh Jacobs was not the problem with the Raiders. They didn't struggle because they picked Josh Jacobs. They struggled because they made 18 other errors and they had to change head coaches or whatever. It just has always felt to me, and I had to eventually get off of this hill because I was basically the last one on it. But for whatever reason, running backs took the brunt of indirect blame for teams struggling. No one ever goes, well, they picked the left tackle and they stunk for a decade and they blame him. Then no one ever blames other positions where players were picked and the rest of the team sucked. They don't go back to the D tackle or the pass rusher, but we go back to Josh Jacobs was not the problem for the Raiders. And even Saquon Barkley wasn't the problem for the Giants. The theory was the problem, and the inconsistency was the problem because the Giants kept going back and forth between whether they were picking for now or down the road. That was the problem. It wasn't having Saquon Barkley. It was that they were making picks that didn't connect from one to the other because every pick had a different future value. And that was the problem.
And that's fair. And I think, look, Saquon and what Derrick Henry did maybe will contradict what I'm about to say, but I think for most running backs, I think the other issue is the prime of their career is when they step on the field their rookie year. Really, the first 4 years are the best years you're getting out of running back. So if you're going to draft the running back super high, when you know you have so many other issues on your team, my question, though, becomes how do you fix those other issues in time to maximize your running back's prime? And to me, with the Raiders, if you're going to draft Ashton Jeanty, it's go time. It's not, oh, in 6 years, we'll have a team together and then we'll be good. He very well at that point could be on the decline. Not certain, because we saw what Saquon did, but that's very possible. So that I think the calculus for paying a running back and drafting a running back, I think, are totally different.
But I think the Raiders do think it's go time. They have a 72-year-old coach. They have a 34-year-old quarterback.
And they just paid Max Crosby.
So, and by the way, I can squint and see it being go time there. I think they're ready to win some games. Would you buy that, EJ?
That's probably where the difference lies. I think the Raiders are still the bottom feeders of that division. It's not necessarily anything against them, per se. I just think the Chargers and Broncos are still better. I mentioned the Chiefs. So, to me, it's you're a last-place team. What does Jeanty do for you?
Well, I got to tell you, look at the picks in this mock draft. Bucky Brooks, NFL Network, his mock draft. He has Tyler Warren at 7. Obviously, the Raiders aren't going there. They have Brock Bowers at tight end. Then he's got Jalen Walker, who's at edge. They've already invested in their D-line, and they've already invested in their O-line with a lot of draft capital. So they're in a very unique position. What they really need is a number one wide receiver, and I just don't think it's there. So it's not the perfect spot. I'm curious, too. Are we sure they would not bring in Shedeur Sanders to sit behind Geno, who's maybe a bridge quarterback? It seems unlikely, but remember the Shedeur-Tom Brady connection? I feel like we had that earlier in the season, pre-Geno Smith. Is that out of the question?
If they do that, that would be malpractice to me.
Yeah, you hated when your Jets picked a Olufashinu, a lineman who was not going to be a starter.
Yeah,
because you want a guy who's going to go in immediately.
Right, and to be fair, it kind of went backwards. The Jets ended up kind of being a tanking team, so therefore and then Tyron Smith got hurt, so the Olu draft pick kind of worked. But yes, I do not understand that. You're a team that you're trying to allegedly win now. If that's the case, then why are you drafting the quarterback you're not going to play now? The equation doesn't make sense. The math is not math in there. I would hate that if they drafted Shedeur Sanders after spending this draft capital on Geno Smith. Now you're spending it on a quarterback who's not going to play.
And for them specifically, they need the help of picks, not trading picks, because they're not getting Shedeur at 6. So to move forward to get him is going to cost assets that I would rather allocate somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, their skill position room is way too empty. I and it's against my best instinct because I consider myself an analytic guy.
Mm.
I like Ashton Jeanty. It's you ever see him go down on the first hit?
No, but this is about now. If this was Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison or Ashton Jeanty, no one's picking Ashton Jeanty, but this is what's available for teams in this part of the draft.
Yeah, I mean, the knock on people say that Ashton Jeanty did not play great competition, and when he did, it wasn't the same running back. So that's out there, too. It's a weird draft. I think the Raiders need to take a risk here. And I also think, by the way, around that number 6 pick, we're going to be talking about Jackson Dart in 7 or 9. just a weird draft. Demand is pushing up players that you normally would not see there. Not a great draft.
Can I propose a third option for the Raiders real quick?
Yeah, please.
I think trade down. This is a trade down spot.
Yeah,
potentially.
Again, wide receiver.
Yeah, I really feel like this is a thing where if you're really unsure about Janty for the things you mentioned, size, competition, I mean, this is a team. If there's any team that needs multiple picks to fill out a roster, it's this team. So maybe you trade down. Maybe you do get Golden or Tet later in the first round, and then you fill out the rest of your roster. Their secondary is horrendous. They really need DBs. They're playing. You can get maybe later in the first round and second round as well. So that can be something they consider.
I love Golden, by the way. I don't know. I mean,
yeah, he's electric.
Ran a 4.3, but you saw it on the field. He really took over, and you know, because I'm a lifelong Houston Cougars fan as well.
Yeah,
and I think he was a Coug before he went to Texas. Yeah, so I agree, but I don't know, EJ, is there value at 6 for other teams? Because
I think one of these teams may want Janty.
Yeah, it may be Janty, right, but I was thinking a lot of these players are very similarly graded from 6 to 20, basically. Right.
Yeah, but again, like, the real cluster, you know what? Could this draft begin with Ward, Shador, and Jackson Dart 1, 2, 3, and then all of this talent sitting there at 4.
It's happened before. You remember the Baker Mayfield draft? Nobody had Baker number one overall at the end of March.
We know Cam's going number one. If the Browns go Shador 2, and then the Giants, like, they have to pick somebody, they're gonna take Jackson Dart there.
Wow. That would be, if this draft went 1, 2, 3, and then we might as well throw Tyler Shuck.
I mean, I don't
25-year-old.
The owner is on camera saying we have to get our future quarterback. I don't know that unless they can move back a spot or two for Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, but they have to guarantee themselves one of those three guys. That changes also how picks 4, 5, and 6 play out.
Yeah. I was also wondering, are teams going to trade up for Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter? I think Abdul Carter is worth giving up some draft capital to get up there. I think it's pretty obvious to me he's a star.
Yeah, I mean, I he'd be my pick if I was the Browns, without any hesitation.
Yeah. And the other problem is there's no surefire left tackle. Will Campbell's the top left tackle, and he's got short arms.
And I think your dude from the combine has slowed a little bit too, right?
Mambu?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love this idea of a short arm tackle. I just picture a little Tyrannosaurus Rex guy with little short arms trying to block a guy. Yeah, I, for some reason, that guy. And by the way, Tyler Warren also...
He can't reach.
Yeah, the Penn State tight end apparently has very short arms, which is kind of weird. So they're worried, is he going to be able to block if he has to take on an edge guy? Listen, I have small hands, so I understand this. I'm 6'4", and I think I have probably 9-inch hands. And it's
your hands look plenty bigger than mine, so I'm jealous.
Yeah. EJ, how's your hand size?
I think they're
pretty big.
Medium, I would say.
Probably 9.5.
I can almost palm a basketball. I can palm like basketballs that are with not quite regulation.
Manny, what do you got going on the hand size?
I got tiny hands, man.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it
explains a lot.
Yeah, it does, unfortunately.
You need to find Jalen Milroe and do those hand stretching things to stretch your fingers long enough.
We all know if we're getting to body parts, this show obviously has a secret weapon.
Miss Gray.
Her feet. Men's 9.5.
Guys, that's our lottery ticket.
God, if I had a body part anyone would want to see. If we desperately need to raise revenue at the last second, definitely going to some sort of feet-only site.
It bothers me how open Maggie is to this.
Yeah.
The way she talks about it. She seems to be like, hey, guys, that's on the table.
I would even say curious.
And we may have I might have a second personal lottery ticket here because my wife has... Now, I've always joked about my wife. My wife has long toes.
Okay.
Longer than they should be. I'm sure they're longer than average, but they're not like...
Keep going.
She can't climb a tree.
Does she look like Nosferatu? What are we talking about here?
But she has the same shoe size as Maggie. I don't know what Maggie's proportion is from foot to toe, but my wife... I have short, stumpy toes. My wife has almost finger toes. So I think my wife has a similar target demo than Maggie does.
I don't think your wife would take too kind to this.
We were joking about it just yesterday.
Oh boy!
On the air though,
first of all, she's not listening.
Ah, there it is.
So this is a safe space for all things. But I've known her since she was 16 years old, and it has been a joke since then.
Mrs. Bogus, please support the show. Listen, please.
So I got 4 feet that we could be selling to make some cash here.
Wow.
We can That's kind of unselfish of you, by the way. I would just pocket that money myself and be like, hey, we're doing
well,
this.
Well, it wouldn't be. You guys can get a cut. You can get a cut of my wife's.
Okay.
Not a full share.
I can't relate to any of this. My wife is physically perfect and in every way.
How's her golf game?
Wait.
You guys playing 18 this weekend?
Listen, I mean, come on. I think even the most secure marriage, you're allowed to talk about Paulina Gretzky in a positive way. I mean, come on. There are certain women.
That's fair.
But speaking of which, you guys know I got Bogus in big trouble yesterday. Big trouble.
I'm not aware.
I got a little adult on the text thread.
Visually.
And it
popped up on my watch while I was sitting in a crowded CYO swim meet.
Yeah. All right.
We
got to take a break now, just in case any of the wives are listening. But we'll be right back. We'll share the story of how I almost got Bogus kicked out of a swim meet because of a risque photo. That's next right here. Maggie and Perloff Show. Welcome back. Maggie and Perloff Show. Maggie out sick one more day. I believe she will be back tomorrow. Andrew Bogus is sitting in. All right, Bogus, set the scene. You were at a swim meet last night, and you're... Apple Watch starts buzzing.
First of all, let me begin by, this is my daughter's first year competitive swimming. So this is my first year in a loud, condensed, humid pool with girls from like the ages of 9 to 16 screaming, shrieking, cheering, whistles blowing, parents yelling. That ain't like a baseball field or a basketball court, that those swim meets, man. You should have warned me to not let my daughter do this.
Mm-hmm.
But last night was the season finale, and I was there as you guys would have normally had your evening production call. So we were doing this via text because right. I could not possibly have been on the phone at the swim meet. And, you know, I have an Apple Watch connected to my phone, so I get when the text comes in, my phone buzzes, my watch lights up, and... my watch was exposed sitting poolside, and you sent a picture to the group of a possible topic, including a scantily clad, beautiful movie star.
Yeah.
And the preview on my watch was literally just her barely covered upper chest area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are boobs on my wrist everywhere for people to see, including my wife and my son and strangers. But I think I saw it fast enough to hide it, but I definitely might have been judged by more than one stranger last night, and it's all your fault.
I think it was just the way the photo was framed, right? Only a certain part of the photo. It was an important story, and Manny, I'm so sorry. This was actually meant for you.
Yeah,
I left it off the thread.
Yeah, EJ showed me the picture, and he shows me the text, and underneath this link that you send, it says for Manny. However, I was never included in the text thread, Pearl.
Sorry about that, dude.
Yeah, you really fumbled that one, brother.
Well, the news is that Sydney Sweeney, the actress, has deleted a picture where she is kissing her fiancé on New Year's Eve.
Oh.
So now the rumors are that there's trouble in paradise.
Oh, it's Manny's time to shine, ladies and gents.
Not with those small hands. Oh,
damn.
Sydney Sweeney, if I get Knicks tickets and we're sitting near Sydney Sweeney, is that somebody you would be interested in dating?
Oh, I would change her life in an instant.
How would that happen?
For the better or worse?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know if Sydney Sweeney is going to want to, on a Tuesday night, sit and watch a Knicks game with you, Manny.
You'd be her Russell Wilson.
Let's ride. Do whatever, whatever, girl.
Emphasis on ride.
What? Wait, what?
I promise you, Sydney, you'd have a great time. I would change your life.
Go back a second here. When you say that he would be her Russell Wilson, do you mean the way that Ciara is super hot and Russell's sort of a nerdy guy next to her?
Washed up, less than useful guy you settle for.
Oh, bridge quarterback?
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Settle, Sydney. I'm looking right at the camera. Settle. I promise you. Settling would be the best thing that would ever happen to
you. Manny, you would take 8 starts in that situation.
I take 20 minutes.
20 minutes. It's being awfully confident there, bud. More like 2 minutes. Anyway, sorry about that text thread. I did not know. I was just trying to spread the news. I was not trying to send a picture.
I do think this was a little risky, Pearl.
Yeah, sorry about that.
With married folks and engaged folks, I was like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, that is at Barstool Sports problem. That was the picture.
It became
chose.
A bogus problem.
Yeah, to be honest, I was more worried about like the adults I didn't know seeing that on my wrist. My wife is not going to care about a Sydney Sweeney picture on my phone. But the guy next to me, I didn't know. I didn't want him thinking that I was some kind of dirtbag or confirming that I was what I am. can I ask one other question? Yeah. To play the scenario out, if you're in Dr. Rock's seats at a Knick game,
yeah,
and Sydney Sweeney is in like the real celebrity row where Tracy Morgan got sick recently, would you guys have access to the same places off the court, like the same lounges?
Sure. I'm not sure. So, I think there's a super secret celebrity lounge. EJ, do you know?
So what I noticed was when we sat together, Quavo was there. Remember, Pearl?
Yeah.
And
Quavo!
At one point, we actually walked past.
Is she hot?
she's not a she. No, but we walked past Quavo, and I noticed that we were going towards the regular Delta Lounge, and he was literally going the opposite way. Like, there was a different tunnel that I suppose are where the real celebrities go. Like, the people who's paid a lot of money or whatever, they can go into Delta Lounge. But then he was literally going the opposite way I was going. I was like, well, no one is allowed to go there. I see people try to walk there, and they tell them, hey, don't go there. So I think there's a different section. Like, you wouldn't see Quavo or Sydney Sweeney in the Delta Lounge.
Damn.
Right, you don't even see Ben Stiller walking. They're never in the concession stands. As far as I know, I've never seen a celebrity in the main hallway of the Garden.
No, I'm thinking about the fancy places you guys had access to underneath. Yeah. Is that where they go to?
Not to my knowledge. I've never seen any of them. Of course, by the way, Celebrity Row, they're not all on Celebrity Row, where you see Tracy Morgan and Ben Stiller. A lot of them sit underneath the basket. Bad Bunny was underneath the basket. Famously, Timothy Chalamet and I sat right next to each
other.
I said, Tim, just go ahead, sing. You're going to be great.
Tim.
You tell him to date Kris Jenner? I mean, Caitlyn?
Kris Jenner.
Believe me, he figured that one out on his own.
Did you see him at the tennis game?
No, was he, what was he doing?
It's interesting situation. He's at the tennis game and, you know, his girl, Kylie, getting, you know, handsy and whatever. And he stands up. Shouldn't have stood up.
Just
going to leave it there. Oops. Just going to leave it there. Shouldn't have stood up.
Is this the tennis tournament in Miami?
Yeah. Maybe it was. Yeah,
I think it was California.
Oh, yeah. It was recent. It was last week.
The one in Palm Springs.
Yeah.
This
video went viral. Yeah.
So he recreated Andrew Perloff in seventh grade, basically.
Oh,
when the science teachers, like, come up to the board and do this problem, sir. That's what a trapper keeper was for. I mean, we need Maggie back badly, although she would love this conversation.
I've never seen a celebrity enjoy his new girl like the way that guy enjoys Kylie Jenner.
Makes sense.
I'm not judging him. I'm just saying like that he's enjoying the fame.
I too would enjoy the fruits of fame if I was dating a Jenner.
They've been together a while now. Is that a new relationship? How long has that been going?
It's not that long. Maybe two. I don't think it's that. I think it's no more than two.
Sydney, we could surpass that. I promise you.
You know, of all the things Timothy Chalamet has done, I think we can all agree his appearance on College Game Day puts him over the top. Like, he earned so many points by knowing mid-level college football that well, or at least pretending to. I mean, EJ, even you had to be impressed by that.
I mean, he's won an Oscar. I would say that's probably his best accomplishment. But yeah, the Game Day thing was cool. The Jenner stuff seems to be cool, too, for him. Seems to be doing okay in other departments besides knowing, you know, Arizona's 3-4 defense.
I don't know. I don't think he's won an Oscar. Has he won an Oscar?
He's not won an Oscar.
He's gotten a lot of
press for a guy who's never won an Oscar.
Yeah, we'll double check that.
He didn't win this year, right? Because what's his name won for The Brutalist? But he got nominated for being Bob Dylan.
Right.
But he didn't win.
What was his big, Call Me By Your Name was his big movie. Gordon Damer's here doing updates. Gordon, are you a movie buff?
I am. Not necessarily modern movies, but more back in the day.
What are your thoughts on Caddyshack 2?
No. Not good.
Okay.
But by the way,
I don't think that's really controversial.
We've come to the wrong place then.
You have no idea what's going on here at the Maggie and Perloff Show. First of all, when you say back in the day, if it's from 2013...
How dare you?
Manny will have never heard of it because it's too old. So be careful about back in there. You have to...
I'm the polar opposite. If it happened after 2013, I have no idea about anything.
Well, you and I could talk, but I say... Bogus knows his movies.
Yeah.
Manny knows the new movies.
I don't know anything.
EJ is very genre specific. He knows action. What do you call those movies? He knows
superhero movies.
Better than anyone. Yeah.
Okay.
But as far as movies like The Godfather, that side of the glass has no idea.
It's a very weird thing. It's like I know superhero movies and I know the hood classics, as I would call them. But the movies that my dad was like, hey, you're too young to watch this, but you're going to watch this because you're a young black kid in Queens. So
like
here,
what?
Watch Juice. Here, watch Boys in the Hood.
Good movie, Juice.
Yeah, like just those movies. Here, watch Above the Rim. Like these are movies that I was watching at 8 years old. You shouldn't have been watching, but I was.
You got the juice now. Such a good movie.
Did you think he was going to go to 70s, like Shaft or something? And he goes with Boys in the Hood from 1990-something.
Yeah, that doesn't feel that old. Like you said, 2013? That doesn't feel like it was that long ago. It feels like it was like 3 years ago.
And then also random kung fu movies. So like Enter the Dragon. Again, 9 years old watching this.
I was a big fan of ninja movies when I was a kid. Yeah, anybody into those?
I mean, my dad loves like the old like kung fu movies, like with the poorly dubbed.
Oh, that's
voiceovers.
Yeah.
Like that's really old.
It's called Ninja Te.
Yeah,
I've always as a child, I was an aspiring ninja / breakdancer. I had a lot going on.
How'd that work out for you? It's a very specific niche.
Sadly, I was better. No, and this is like 1986. Every kid wanted to be a breakdancer and a ninja fighter,
but that they weren't all 6'3" and 84 pounds.
I was bad at both. I was probably a better ninja. I was so bad. My breakdancing moves were just awful. They were quite dangerous, too.
Define your good ninja.
Show us something for the stream, Pearl.
A ninja move? See, you won't see it because I won't even be there.
It's like I understand.
The segment will open. There's no Pearl off.
I was talking about you breaking out your ray gun impression and breakdance, but I digress.
Oh, no, I'm terrible at breakdancing. What if all of a sudden I dropped a couple smoke bombs and I wasn't there? That would be awesome on the YouTube stream.
I don't think that'd be ninja stuff. I think that'd be more like magician stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe that was part of your problem.
That's a major ninja move. To drop a smoke bomb and disappear, that's also a ninja move. Manny, you clearly don't know what you're talking about.
Hey, man, I'm just saying, I watched all the Rush Hour movies. I never saw Jackie Chan drop a smoke bomb and then just, woof, disappear.
There's a major difference. Jackie.
What if I pull a rabbit out of my head?
Jackie Chan's a ninja, though.
He's kung fu, dude. Yeah, like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, Jackie Chan's not a ninja.
Karate. I don't know what the particular martial art Jackie Chan is.
He's called Ninja Te.
Everyone sees Jackie Chan coming. No one sees a ninja coming.
Yeah, stealth isn't really... He can do stealth stuff, but I feel like Jackie's more, I kick your ass.
Did Leonardo or Raphael ever use a smoke bomb to disappear?
Are those the Ninja Turtles? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. They've done that.
Yeah, I think
he's right
so.
About this. Like, smoke bombs are a ninja thing.
Oh, definitely. They're a huge ninja thing.
All right, do it.
I'm gone. Okay. With that note,
this is where Maggie gets mad. He goes, "Help us! Somebody save us!"
Yeah, somebody. Gordon Damer, that man is you. Save us with some updates.
All right, there we go. A week ago, Giants had one quarterback on the roster. Now they have three, at least in name. Giants signing Russell Wilson to a one-year contract yesterday, $10.5 million guaranteed. Of course, he joins Jameis Winston and Tommy DeVito. Wilson, 10-time Pro Bowler, turns 37 in November. He tweeted out a photo of MetLife Stadium with the caption, quote, "Been here before, can't wait to do it again. Hashtag MetLife," you might remember. Wilson's Super Bowl win came at MetLife in February of 2014. And in fact, he has as many postseason wins as the Giants do at MetLife since that building opened 15 years ago.
No.
Yeah. Well, the year they won the Super Bowl, they were a wild card, so they were on the road, and it's not like the Giants have had many opportunities here lately to stack up playoff wins.
They beat Atlanta. I remember that game. That was in MetLife. Is that the only win they had?
I think it is. And 2 years ago, when they went to the playoffs with Daniel Jones,
that was in Minnesota.
That was in Minnesota. So they have not had many home playoff
games. Is that why they signed
him? Maybe. You really could make the argument that that was the worst possible thing for the long-term prospects of the Giants was that season. Because when Daboll and Shane came in, it seemed pretty clear that they were going to move away from Daniel Jones. And then he has this season. They go to the playoffs. They got to bring him back.
Well, they tried to sort of thread the needle by going just 2 years. It just didn't work. That's bogus.
No, please don't. I do not accept this. Like, this is now my calling card. I don't want to be Giant fan, Andrew Bogish. Yeah. No thanks.
I was looking at Andrew Bogish's Twitter feed, and some of my friends in the Philadelphia media are dunking on him right now. It's good to be an Eagles fan here. Gordon, I'm an Eagles fan.
Yeah.
So it's just, I walk around with my head held high. And I just pray that the Knicks never win because those guys would be insufferable.
Well, it must be nice that you don't even have to do anything. As an Eagle fan, right? Like your team didn't do anything. They didn't make a move, and you just have something to enjoy.
Oh, no, yeah. He thinks he did something all right. It is fading them. It is sitting in the right couch spot in his apartment. It's he does things that he thinks are going to help the team win or lose. He's saying, the Chiefs are going to beat the Eagles, that Jalen Hurts can't throw the football.
And I never said Hurts can't throw the football. That's not a Perloff take.
Oh, is that right?
Ooh.
Hurts is not a great pass score, but obviously. I always talk about how he's throwing dots all over the Super Bowl. I don't think. Just find the quote. Jalen Hurts can't throw the football. I would never.
You definitely said Jalen Hurts was not throwing the football. They're not. He's not throwing the football. Those are the direct quotes in the playoffs.
Definitely. Yeah, that makes sense. I thought they were going to go all Saquon, but then the teams like loaded up and put 9 in the box. I don't even know how we got here. People were celebrating. You know, everyone said it to me, congratulations, you did a great job on the Super Bowl. Everybody said that. I'm like, thank you. It's what happens. You guys will someday figure that out.
No, that's, Giants, I'm not sure. I don't think it's right around. Much like your ninja career, I don't think it's going to take off. Stephon Diggs has a new home, though. He's back in the AFC East, signs with the Patriots, 3 years, $69 million, 26 guaranteed. He turned 32 in November. You might remember, tore his ACL back in week 8, but he is on track to be good to go for week 1. Patriots desperate for weapons. Their receivers ranked 28th in the NFL last season, 161 catches, 10 touchdowns. Their only move before this was signing Mac Hollins to a 2-year deal.
Is that bad?
Mac Hollins?
No, the ranking 28th for receivers in the NFL.
It could be worse.
Oh, okay.
There are more teams than 28 in the NFL.
Where are the Giants ranking there?
Negative. 47.
If we were playing Family Feud and you had to say top 5 answers on the board, who is worse than the Patriots? I feel like the Giants might be the
actually, Malik Nabers probably spoils all of that. It's the one thing they probably look good in.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Malik.
Couple things going on here. Mike Vrabel does not want to throw the ball all over the yard anyway, so does it matter how good their receiving core is? And what if you had Travis Hunter, who seems like the most logical pick of 4? So if you have Travis Hunter playing at least some wide receiver and Stephon Diggs, you're higher than 28. You're like 26.
Leaps and bounds. Baby steps.
Yeah. Maggie thinks the Patriots are a potential turnaround team. I saw a story, Judy Batista, our friend, wrote that the Patriots could be the biggest turnaround team this year. They do, they have the young quarterback. They have a new coach who knows how to win football games. They invested a ton on defense. They are a little bit interesting.
And they're in a division that has one confirmed good team.
Yeah, I mean, Dolphins get some injuries. Jets are rebuilding.
Jets show up.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets with Justin Fields. I think it's fair to say the Jets could be in a rebuild. They're not investing anything in their quarterback room, just $20 million. Yeah, it's an interesting team for sure. I don't really even care where the wide receiver is because Drake May is the man. I think he can make those guys look better.
All right, major injury news in the NBA yesterday. Damian Lillard diagnosed with a blood clot in his calf, so he's out indefinitely. He had already missed the past 3 games. That was diagnosed as a calf strain, but then back on Monday, Doc Rivers said that Lillard was not improving. The Bucks have 11 games left in the regular season. Then, of course, you have Jimmy Butler, spent a good portion of the season trying to get out of Miami. Last night, he was back in Miami, first time since the trade to Golden State. Warriors got blown out, 112-86. Butler was held to 11 points. And you might think, well, the Heat fans must have really given it to Jimmy Butler last night. The Warriors head coach Steve Kerr says, yeah, not so much.
Really wasn't that rabid of an environment. It was typical Miami, and I think the main part of Jimmy's return is that the Heat were ready, and Spo had him ready.
And the college basketball carousel still spinning. Xavier was looking for a head coach with Sean Miller off to Texas, so Xavier grabs Richard Pitino from New Mexico, so Richard will now be in the same league as his father, Rick.
But how about he verbally took the Villanova job, and then Chris Mack said, oh, I'm not going back to Xavier. Mm. So then Xavier swooped in and took Pitino away from Philadelphia.
That's not cool.
That sounds awesome to me.
It's not cool for Villanova or Philadelphia basketball, but that's how fast things changed yesterday. Where the first report was Pitino's going to Villanova to coach in the same league as his dad, and then Xavier stayed open, and he changed his mind and went to Xavier for a better deal than he was getting from Nova, so he's still in the same league with his dad, but for a different school.
Which is a better job, Villanova or Xavier, if the money's close?
I would have guessed Villanova,
history.
But maybe not.
I don't know.
Who needs Brunson?
I was going to say, something must be rotten at Villanova if he's choosing Xavier over Villanova. That sounds crazy to me.
I mean, unless... because Villanova had to pay Kyle Neptune to go away. I don't know what's left. And Xavier is probably getting money because Texas took Sean Miller. So maybe Xavier has more money to give him right now than Nova did.
Yeah, but I would think Villanova would have a big NIL budget. You could obviously win at the highest level.
Well, they do, and then they didn't win, which is why they're changing head coaches.
Yeah, and also Villanova is obviously gorgeous.
I actually have never been.
Recruiting area.
Yeah, I haven't been to Xavier. I've been to Cincinnati. It's a nice town, but I don't know. Villanova seems to have a lot of advantages.
Yeah, I mean, it was the Cintas Center when I first was there. I do not know what it's called now. It's a good spot. It's not like it's not UD Arena. It's not getting to play at Wells Fargo like you do at Villanova. So, yeah, I mean, I would have. I'm surprised that you would choose Xavier over Villanova, but maybe right now in this moment, there's more money at Xavier.
It's still the Rock and Toss.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there you go.
All right.
All right, Gordon, thank you very much. We have to update our sequel bracket. Gordon, if you haven't seen some of these choices, you might be surprised. But I think we have a potential overall champion. I think there is a sequel that is playing like a champion right now. I think a true number one seed. We'll get to that next, Maggie and Perloff Show.
Gabagool.
Yeah, it is.
That's totally AI.
Yeah, it is.
That's artificial intelligence.
We'll just sit back and wait for your response.
Wait, where was that? Was that this year?
Yeah, that was right before the conference championship game.
How many? Okay, let me read you some things about
Ninja.
Jalen Hurts game log coming in to the conference title game. Andrew Bogut.
No. You don't get to do this. You said you didn't say what you said. The game log doesn't matter.
I'm not even saying you were wrong. I'm saying that that's what you said, though.
Yeah, and then you said you didn't say it.
13 for 21, 131 yards against Green Bay.
This doesn't mean anything.
15 for 20, 128 yards against the Rams. Numbers. Yeah. Then know what happened. They stacked the box. Washington and KC put every single defender they could to stop Saquon. And Hurts went off.
Again, no one's saying that you were wrong in your thought, but you said you didn't have the thought, and you had the thought, and you said it out loud.
Well, that was a long time ago.
That was December.
January.
Don't know what you guys are talking about. All I know is the Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl champions.
Because of your ninja work behind the scenes.
Okay. Let's change the subject pretty quickly here. We got the sequel bracket. By the way, I got in trouble for the sequel bracket last night, too. In a big way. From a renowned college football writer texted me and was upset about something we said on the show yesterday. Upset. Did not like it at all. He said, we're talking about Godfather Part 2, that we were giving away a major spoiler that Michael killed Fredo.
Oh, come on.
That's ridiculous.
Right? No, but he was serious. He's like, you can't do that. It's 3.5 hours in the movie. What if a young person hasn't seen it yet and is going to go watch it and now they know?
No.
No, you can't do that. There are certain spoilers that just are evergreen.
Yeah, like, the Jaws eats humans.
Darth Vader is Luke's father. Right. Sorry.
Darth Vader is Luke's father. Is Bruce Willis being, I don't want to say it. Bruce Willis in Sixth Sense, is that allowed? That was about a 30-year-old movie.
That movie may not be as, I think you have to be like, if it was in a bracket, it had to be like a number one, number two seed where that would work, right? So I don't know, like Sixth Sense, I've seen it obviously, but I don't know if that works.
Okay.
I think Avengers, like, you know, Thanos snaps half of humanity. Like, I just think there are certain things you're going
to. Absolutely. Okay. Let's get to our sequel bracket. Gotham City region. Godfather Part 2. Strong winner over Home Alone 2.
There's a plane waiting for us to take us to Miami in an hour. They'll make a big thing about it. I know it was you, Fredo. You broke my heart. You broke my heart.
But then he forgave him. They had Gabagool and everything was fine.
Yeah. Sorry about the spoiler there.
Gabagool.
All right, we got to get through this. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Oh, man. Took out Wrath of Khan Star Trek 2.
What are we even talking about this for? We just had a little man save us by blowing up 50 ships.
Like this?
A little one-inch man saved us.
Well, if he got closer, I'm sure he'd be much larger.
If it's how eyesight works, you stupid raccoon.
Don't call me a raccoon!
All right, we got to bust through this. Top Gun Maverick destroys Lethal Weapon 2.
I can't be the only one that knows that Maverick flew with his old man.
That's enough.
Or that Maverick was flying when his old man...
Lieutenant, that's enough.
That's enough.
You son of a...
Come on!
I'm cool.
Hey. That's enough.
He's not cut out for this mission.
It's enough.
You know it.
By the way, Goose died in Top Gun 1.
Oh, spoiler. Come on!
Lord of the Rings, Two Towers beats Creed 2, and actually a really close match, which I think is a credit to Creed 2.
Gandalf. Yes. That was what they used to call me. Gandalf the Grey. That was my name. Gandalf. I am Gandalf the White.
Huge spoiler. I mean, that book's only been out 200 years. What if you haven't gotten to it yet? All right. Later on, we have the Hoth region from Empire Strikes Back.
Gordon, the Jedi return. Don't worry.
Gordon Damer's doing updates. He thinks, like you, it's going to be a Dark Knight versus Godfather 2 championship down the road in our sequel bracket. I kind of agree. Godfather 2 performing well despite all the spoilers. All right, coming up next, we have a great debate. I can't wait for this one, folks, because I'm going to win it. That's the best part of the great debate. That's next right here, Maggie and Perloff Show.